Has he been faithful to you? He's always faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We have some great music around here, and we have all different types. And that's what we're a diverse congregation, so we try to have different types of music. And for you that are new here, year before last, I did a series on ages, stages, and generations. How many of you remember that series? And we talked about that we are a congregation of different ages, and we're at different stages in our lives and so forth. But instead of having congregation separation, we need to have congregation coming together, cohesiveness. And so we all need to, we need to learn to worship with the young, and they need to learn to worship with the old, because we all, did you ever notice that whatever era that you grew up in, that's the kind of music you like? I mean, in the secular world, in the church world, each era has its own style of music. How many of you ever realize that? If you'll study it, you'll find out that's so. But we got to learn to work with all the styles. Because, hey, the way I would worship with the songs I like are completely different in the way that some of you would worship. Lynette and I mean, she likes a different type of song than I do. And so, you know, she has hers and I have mine. But hey, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? How many of you, you husbands and wife, maybe the wife likes one style of Christian music and you like another style? Let me see your hands. Because that's what ministers to you. Do you realize we gravitate to what ministers to us? Amen. That's sermon number one. Okay. Sermon number two is the number two part of In Him, the In series. And last week was the In factor, right? The In factor. And Acts 17:28, you know, Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. And so today I'm talking about in position. In position. You know, when you're playing sports and there is a certain place and a position that you're to be in depending upon the offense or the defense that you're set up in. Is that not correct? If one player is out of position, it messes up the whole thing. Right? In other words, I was a wide receiver and a running back. I go out, I'm supposed to go out here, and I'm supposed to do a 5-yard down and out. Well, I don't go out there and do this. I don't go out there and do this like this. I have to go out there and be in the position, because he's going to throw the ball to a position. I got to go out there. I got to plant my foot and go straight out on a straight line. I can't do that curve business. How many of you that played receiver know what I'm talking about? You got to be in the right position, because the quarterback's going to throw the ball to the position where you are supposed to be. And if you're not in the right position, you got a fellow over there on the sideline called a coach, and you're going to hear about it. You might even be set on the bench and may not even get back in the game. Hello? How many understand what I'm talking about? Being in the right position. You know, one guy said he played end on the football team. And he said every time he tried to get in the game, the coach told him, get back on the end of the bench. In the spiritual realm, we have to be in position. In position. Turn to your neighbor and say, in position. When you're in position is when you're in the place to receive all the blessings of God. Now let's go to our major scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to the major scripture for this portion, 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the New King James. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I still see we need 4 approved workers, so please help them out. The amplified of that same verse says, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness. And the New Living says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, Jesus didn't sin. Right here, the Word of God says that he was made sin, or he took sin upon himself, so that we, through him, could become the righteousness of God. You know, many Christians don't walk in their full privilege because they never have understood the position of righteousness that was given to them when they accepted Jesus Christ. The late John Osteen said this, unless we know who we are and what we can do by the power of Jesus Christ, Satan will have continuous victory in our lives. Unless we know who we are and what we can do in the power of Christ. We must know what Jesus did for us on the cross so we can be in position to receive the blessings of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Living Bible says, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's righteousness into us. Now, once again, I want to say, Jesus didn't sin, but he became sin. He took sin. This verse indicates that Jesus took our sins and then he became the sin offering. If you'll do some study, you'll find out sometimes this is called the great exchange. We exchange our sinfulness for his righteousness. Christ became our substitute on the cross, bearing the punishment that we should have borne. You know, some people get caught up in, you know, who they are and what they are, and they think they deserve a bunch of stuff. You know, actually, you didn't get what you deserved. What you deserved, Jesus got on the cross. We all deserve punishment because we sin. All have sinned. The Romans said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I realize that in this day and age, you don't hear people talking about sin. But there is sin. Read the Bible. The Bible talks about sin. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, you and his righteousness, you became alive. Now, it's talking about dead. Being dead there doesn't mean cessation of life. It means being dead spiritually. But when we accept Christ and come in Christ, then we become alive spiritually. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said this in Spiritual Identity. There is a place in Christ where we are no longer under the condemnation, but where the heavens are always open for us. See, last week we talked about Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to him that is in Christ. You see, a lot of people, sometimes even preachers, try to put condemnation on people. Well, now, let me tell you what. There is such a thing as sinning, right? But 1 John 1:9 says that we can ask God and he will forgive us of our sins. That is written to the Christian. I realize there's a bunch of teaching going on that 1 John 1:9 wasn't written to the Christian. But if you go study, you will find out that there is no reputable Bible scholar that will say that 1 John 1:9 wasn't written to the Christians. So that's what it's for. John was writing to the Christians. You know, you just got to read the thing and you can see that it has to be. But anyway, let's go on. Now, you see, we, through Christ, we are no longer under condemnation. Now, if you, and with your parents, if you mess up, what are you going to do? Ask for forgiveness, right? You know, that's what, I mean, if we mess up, then we ask for forgiveness and God, he forgives us. But we're not condemned. You know, some people, we need to realize that when we're in him, if you understand, really get a hold of the in him realities, there is therefore now no condemnation. Nobody can put, cause, hey, there, your sin has been done away with. It no longer exists. Now the devil will try to remind you of it, but it doesn't exist as far as God is concerned. Okay? You see, when he took our sinful nature, he gave us his right spiritual condition. He gave us a right relationship with God. You see, until we become born again in Christ, we don't have a relationship with him, with God. He gave us right standing. He gave us rights and privileges. He gave us his ability to do right things. E.W. Kenyon says this: we died once in Christ, now we live with him. We reign with him. His perfect righteousness is ours. All he is and did is ours. We have to begin to understand in Christ, we have all that Christ purchased with his death on Calvary. In Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, in Christ. We must understand our position in Christ. Philippians 3:9. I'm going to read from New King James and also the NLT. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is a form of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, this says it a little better. And become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. See here, there are a lot of people that try to put you under condemnation and want you to live according to their rules, their religious rules. That's condemnation. We don't have any. There are no religious rules. There is the rules of the law of God that are found in this Bible. That's what we got to live by, not by some man's rules. You know, some people say, you can't have church if you don't wear a tie. Well, I don't have one on, and I think we have in church. You got to do this. You got to do that. No. All you have to do when you become in Christ is to live in line with what the Bible says. Not be put under condemnation by somebody else's rules. You ever notice that the religious world has a lot of rules? But the Word of God has two rules. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, body, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you walk under those two commandments of love, then you won't have to worry about the Ten Commandments, because they all will be done if you live in those two deals. Right there. All right. The moment we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive his righteousness. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a gift that we didn't earn. It was given to us freely. And it puts us in a position that we do not deserve. We can now freely because we have right standing with God, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible tells us that. See, before that, we don't have a right to go in there. But you can go boldly there. Hello? Because now you are a son or daughter of God. You know, there's three of my five grandsons sitting right there. They come in up in my office area. They walk straight down the hall. They don't pay any attention to any secretaries or assistants or anybody. They walk right down into my office. Why? Because their name is Hagen. They're my grandsons. They're part of my family. The other two's names are Burns, but they do the same thing. They are part of my family. They have a right to come down that hall and come in there. When you become born again in Christ, become the righteousness of God in Christ, you have the right and the authority to walk boldly into the throne room and talk to God. You know, I use this illustration, but Denise, when she was about 4 or 5, she come flying into her pawpaw, that's my dad's office area, and she flew right on by. The door was closed, but she opened it and flew right on in there. And they tried to stop her, and she turned around and told them, "Do you know who I am?" We need to turn around to the devil sometimes and look him in the face and say, "Hey, do you know who I am? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Who do you think you are?" I like that. We sang that song last Sunday. You know, I know who they sang and I know who I am. See, when you know who you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Nobody can put you down because you can walk in the Word of God, what God said. See, righteousness doesn't come alone. It comes with salvation, meaning right standing with God. It comes with healing. It comes with access to the Father. It comes with peace. It comes with victory. It comes with authority. See, somebody can tell you something, but unless you have the authority, you can't make it happen. Hello? See, you have to, even though somebody puts you in a position, if they don't give you the authority that goes with that position, you can't do nothing. How many understand what I'm talking about? How many understand what I'm saying? See, when we become the righteousness of God in Christ, we are given the authority to use the name of Jesus. And at that name, at that name, at that name, everything has to bow. That's what the Bible says. You see, we can now reign in life through Christ. As I said last week, y'all need to get a hold of that little book out there, In Him. It's got all those scriptures in Him, in whom, through Christ. All it tells you who we are, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do because of Christ, because we are in Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's no condemnation in Christ." Now, I'm not giving you a right to go out and sin. Hello? Actually, that's what happens when if we mess up and sin, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us said, "Hey, you messed up. You better change that." And all we have to is, "I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I messed up. Thank you for forgiving me." And then you go on down the road. Now there's no, once you do that, it's wiped away. No condemnation. Don't look back on it. The devil try to get you to the point, "Oh man, you better go get resaved." You don't need to get resaved as long as you're living right with God. There is no condemnation. Hello. There's a fellow by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin said on page 39 of Believer's Authority, "God's plan for us is that we rule and reign in life as kings. To rule and reign over circumstances, poverty, disease, and everything else that would hinder us. We reign by Christ Jesus. That's the authority. There's authority. We reign over that. Hey, circumstances. You reign over them in Christ. Poverty, disease, anything else. We reign in Christ. Hello, anybody getting anything out of this? Some of you, you know all this, but I want to stir you up again to who you are in Christ. Sometimes we let it slip who we are in Christ, and we don't really grab a hold to who we are in Christ, and we let the devil run over us. Man, every time he comes in, slap his jaws with "I'm in Christ." In Christ. Now get this. In Christ, we have the same, God has given us in Christ the same rights and privileges that he gave to Jesus. The Bible tells us that. We become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It says in Romans. If you're a joint heir with somebody, you're in the same position they are. Is that not correct? Oh, man. We need to learn the reality of this. Now, Romans 10:10. You all know it by heart. You can say it by heart, most of you. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about this muscle. I'm talking about the spirit man on the inside. That's what, when it talks about heart, that's talking about the spirit man on the inside. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's one thing to know who you are in Christ. It's another thing to walk in that righteousness. See, it's one thing to know that you're righteous. It's another thing to walk in that righteousness. That's why he keeps telling you there's no condemnation, because if people can put you under condemnation, they can keep it, the enemy can keep you from walking in your position in righteousness. Here it shows us that being righteous in Christ is a matter of faith, of believing and confessing. Believing and confessing. Now, let me wrap this up. I want to give you four things that I want you to get a hold of. Four things that I want you to get a hold of so that you can walk in the reality of who you are in Christ. Okay? The first thing you have to do is to know the scripture. Know what the Word of God says. You can't find out what the Word of God says if you don't read it. You know, kids just went back to school. I remember when I was in school, you know, we go to English class, and they have rules concerning English, right? How many of you remember that? But the teacher will tell you there are rules concerning English, but you're going to have to get in a book and read it and find out what those all those rules are and get to know the rules. I before E except after V or something like that. Or did I say it backwards? Oh, okay. I said it backwards. See? I can't even remember it myself. Well, you got to remember, it's been a long time since I've been in English class. And you can tell I didn't pay too much attention then. But we got to know the Word. And then once we know the Word, find those scriptures that deal with who we are in Christ, in Him, in whom, through Christ. Find those scriptures that tell us who we are in Christ. And then secondly, daily renew your mind with those scriptures. If you have a problem with condemnation, then get a hold of the In Him scriptures, and every day get up in the morning and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. See, find out the position of right standing that you have. Find out we can live without the sense of inferiority. Find out that we can have access to the Father God anytime, anywhere. Hello. Find the scriptures. Then renew your mind with them. Continually, daily. Today, all of you, most of you know the multiplication table. And you can throw something at you. I'm going to throw a number. Y'all tell me the answer. 9 times 9. 81. 81. I mean, response without even thinking. Why could you do that? Because you said that over and over and over and over and over again. You wrote it down over and over and over again until it becomes such a part of you that now 50, how many years later, I still know it. I graduated from high school in 58. Y'all figure it out. I'm not, math wasn't my subject. History and science was my subject. Math and English weren't. Okay? But you renewed your mind with those over and over again until they became a part of you. Is that not correct? That's what we've got to do with these scriptures right here. In Him, who we are in Christ, through Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. We got to renew ourselves with these scriptures in Him, through Him. We got to, till they become such a part of us that when the devil squeezes us, out of us comes the Word of God. Instead, when the devil squeezes, we don't wring our hands and say, oh my God, what are we going to do? When the devil squeezes, we say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation of them in Christ. Those scriptures begin to come out of you. Why? Because you have made them a part of you. They are as much a part of you as your name is. Every military person that served in the military, I got out of the Army in 65, but I can, right now, I can give you my serial number, R18656519, Special Force Christ, Kenneth W. Hagan, R18656519, just like that. Colonel, can you do it? Why? It became a part of you. How many of you military people in here, raise your hand right now. You can recite your number. Look at his hand. You know why? Because it became a part of you. Am I right or wrong? Here's this right here. This holy word of God has to become a part of you. It has to become so ingrained in you that when the devil squeezes, that's what comes out. We are so trained that if we're captured and they start squeezing us, all that comes out of us, Specialist Fourth Class, Kenneth W. Hagan, R18656519. That's all that comes out. Nothing else. Hello? The devil can't control you. He can't condemn you. He can't take you down the primrose path when you know who you are in Christ. Find the scripture. Daily renew your mind. Continually meditate on it. And then daily confess it. Daily confess it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am free from all sin and all unrighteousness. Sin cannot lord it over me. The enemy cannot take me down. I walk in the presence of God at all times because I'm in Christ. I have the same position of righteousness that Jesus has. That's true. That's what the Bible says. Come on now. A fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin in that little book in him says, the majority of Christians, though sincere, are weak. This is because they never really dared to confess what God's word says about them. They've never dared to confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and that they have what the Bible says they have. Our daily confession of who we are in Christ will empower us to operate from a position of righteousness that we have. You know what? Somebody said, well, I don't want to lie. You're not lying, because what you're saying is already a reality in the spirit realm. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, now you bring it into reality in the natural realm as you open your mouth and begin to talk of who you are in Christ. How many agree with that? That's who we are. Our confession of who we are in Christ gives us the power to live daily in the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this? Everybody stand up. I want you to say this with me. I want you to say this with me. You ready? All right, repeat it after me. Christ died for me. He took my sins. He gave me his righteousness. I am the righteous of God in Christ. I can freely come to God. And I can ask him for whatever I need. Just as if it were Jesus asking for it. Since I'm the righteousness in Christ, my prayers get answered. And I can walk in victory. Because I know who I am. I am a child of God. Born of God. I have the righteousness right of God through Jesus Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. And I can do all things. All things. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know who I am. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Hallelujah.